Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and it is great to be with you here on this Monday. We're going to be talking about those Philadelphia Eagles in just a minute. Obviously, we have to do that, but we've got a fantastic show for you today. Let's kick it off, as we do each day on Spirit in the Morning, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. Father, you love us so much that you created us so that we could be in a relationship with you. And for that, we're grateful. We ask you to continue to draw us close to you through your Son, Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, so that in everything we do today, in everything we see, and everyone we meet, we see you. Father, we ask you to use us to share your good news with everyone around us. We ask you to give us the grace that we need to deal with the challenges that we will face this day. Father, we lift up our family members, our friends, our fellow coworkers, our fellow students, whoever we are with today. We lift them up. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to be with and bless the homeless, the homebound, those who may be struggling with anxiety today. Father, we ask you to speak through us on the program today so that your message can go out over the airwaves on Spirit in the Morning. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome to the show. This is Spirit in the Morning, the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. We're pleased to be with you every Monday through Friday on Holy Spirit Radio. I'm Gary Zimek. Today on the program, we're going to be joined by Tom Corcoran. Tom's been with us before. He's the co-author of the book Rebuilt, Awakening the Faithful, Reaching the Lost, and Making Church Matter. He comes to us from the Church of the Nativity in Timonium, Maryland. Tom's got some great advice for how to improve the experience. Why do people fall away from the Catholic Church? Well, Tom's got some great advice for how we can change things to make church matter. Really, really good stuff. Also, Chris Stepien will be here. Chris has been a regular on the program, but he's going to be discussing his book. We've never discussed this one before. 3 days, The Search for the Boy Messiah. That's going to be a great discussion. Right now, I'm going to bring in Frank Eliason, Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary.
And say, boys, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get this off my chest before we start. I doubted. I thought the Eagles were going to lose. You guys got it right.
Yeah.
We won.
You did doubt.
Note that I'm saying we won.
Yeah, right.
It's a protection mechanism.
It was a defense mechanism.
Yeah,
like, I wanted them to win, but I've been burned so many times.
Yeah, but this team
what
is different to me.
What a game.
You know, I actually, even going into that last drive, you know, in the past, I would sit there and go, oh, we did it. We're done. Mm-hmm. And this time I was like, we got it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was no fear, I think the team was playing as a team.
Aim.
You know, there was no major stars in this game. Everybody was a star.
Total team effort.
And I think that's the beauty of the team.
Yep.
And hey, you know what? We're underdogs this week against Minnesota.
Yeah. And the team seems to be really relishing that. They're excited about it. They want to be underdogs, right? Listening to the guys speak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The dog mask.
Yeah, that was funny. Did
Lane
you see
Johnson?
That they are out of stock on Amazon?
They are.
Exactly. Chris Long, you know, the dog masks. I haven't looked it up. Did you guys look it up?
I did not look it up. I had no interest in buying a dog mask, but I thought it was great. If I was going to the game this weekend, I would have probably considered getting a dog mask.
I was just thinking, maybe Frank has one already. walk into the station with one.
And how about that Vikings-Saints game night? Frank, you have some theories about this.
My view is the Saints deserve to lose, and they deserve to lose from a coaching perspective. It was interesting watching that game. I was fearful of both teams going into that game. Watching that game, I actually lost fear of both teams.
Wow.
You know, I actually think the Eagles are capable of beating either one of those teams. Mm-hmm. The reason I think the New Orleans Saints should have lost that game is there's a number of coaching decisions, whether it be the challenges that were thrown or there's a third and one where they kind of did a gimmicky play that, you know what, it wasn't the time, in my view, to do a gimmicky play.
Yep.
You know, don't overthink it. And one of the things we were talking about the games this weekend
we were.
Is a lot of the coaching coaching seems to be overthinking what to do and losing the games for themselves. We saw that in the Pittsburgh game.
Exactly. And as I mentioned, listening to the sports talk show radio, radio talk show on the way up, which I, you know, I usually listen to us on air, you know, and I pray. But, I mean, how pumped are we? But, I mean, a good piece on the coaching aspect, as you just mentioned, and how Doug Peterson is, you know, steady as she goes, didn't get unflappable, you know, compared to the other coaches. I agree with you, Frank.
Like in the Steelers game,
bad decisions at the crunch minutes.
I loved him during the press conference, though, when they kept asking him about the underdog status and all that stuff, and he was trying to not really say anything, and then finally steps in, goes, "When was Carson hurt?" Ever since then, you guys.
That's right. I know. Then he started to get fired up.
Truth be told, you know.
Then the reel came out.
I like the one part where he said to the one reporter, I just answered that. Check his notes.
Did I just say that?
Yeah. Guys, yeah. I want to do a look at the weather, but we're going to talk more about the Eagles as we go through the week. Also, we want to not forget that the March for Life is on Friday. We'll be leading up to that. We'll be doing a special program on the March for Life. It's a best of show. We'll be talking more about it. It's not too late to find out about getting a bus, check your church, check with the Archdiocese, and please consider going.
Shrine of Jehovah, St. Ignatius, St. Francis Cambrini, almost every parish has a bus, or they're linked to another parish that has a bus.
Yeah, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is strong in their support of the march. It's only 2 hours away, and we show up.
That's right. And we're going, that reminds me, we're going to have Steve Boza on the program on Wednesday. He's the director for the Archdiocesan Office for Life and Family, so we're going to be talking more with Steve about the March for Life and the Archdiocesan support of it. Quick look at the weather for the greater Philadelphia area. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 18 degrees under overcast skies. Today it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 31. Tonight cloudy with a low around 26. Tuesday a chance of Tuesday. A chance of snow before 1 p.m. High near 38. Tuesday night, another chance of snow, but it's going to be a minor event, and I'm very glad about that because I am speaking at Mary Mother of the Redeemer Parish last night. I'm giving a From Fear to Faith talk. I'll talk more about that later, so I hope that doesn't get canceled. It doesn't look like it will. The current temperature in North Wales, 16 degrees. In Phoenixville, 13. And in New Holland, it is 12 degrees. Before I read the gospel, gentlemen, we want to acknowledge the fact that today is the day commemorating Dr. Martin Luther King, a guy who really...
An icon.
I mean, Dave, I know you're a big fan of his work.
I'm a big fan of him. I read him and followed him, you know, because I grew up in that era.
Yeah.
Very, very influential on me. And I just, on the Sunrise Morning Show, I heard Anna, she was interviewing someone who is also an expert. Beautiful piece. So I would, I just loved it. You know how, and from his letter from the Birmingham jail, which he penned, if you can go look at it, find it, Google it, it's very powerful.
You know, many people today will be a day of service, so one of the things to really think about is, you know, what are things that you could volunteer for, what are things that you could do to help the community, and that's often what this day is about, you know, whether it be, you know, volunteering for a group like Aid for Friends, and being able to help bring food to people. Any number of volunteer efforts that help the community is a great way to give tribute to Martin Luther King.
Exactly. And one thing else I want to point out, we've had his niece, Alveda King, on the program. She made the point, and sometimes people argue about this, was Dr. King pro-life? She said, absolutely, he was pro-life. I think, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, early in his career, there was some support of Planned Parenthood, but I believe Planned Parenthood wasn't doing the abortions that they do now.
So certainly he
came out against abortion. He was pro-life, so keep that in mind as we lead into this week. Where the March for Life will take place on Friday.
Yes. But, well said, Garrett.
Let's take a look at the gospel. Today comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected, "Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins. This is a tricky gospel. There's a lot of messages here. I mean, to keep it really simple, what I get from this one is the fact that once we turn our lives over to Christ, and once we say, Lord, I am with you, I surrender to your will, then we are a new creation.
Oh, absolutely.
Sense.
Yes.
Right? And the
we
old,
are made new.
We've got to move away from the way things used to be. And there's always hope for us, no matter what we've done in the past.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter how lukewarm we were in the past. Today's a new day.
A new day.
To be able to serve the Lord.
And his love, which is unending.
Right.
And just have wine with you.
There you go.
We hit on a key word for you, Frank.
Isn't that interesting? That's the message that Frank gets out of the gospel.
That's not women in the new evangelization. That's regular wine, right? Real wine.
All right. But that's very telling that you could pick that up. But...
Yes.
Where do I go with that, Dave?
I knew I'd get
break,
you twisted
maybe.
There.
I don't know. Well, it's coming up in less than a minute, I guess. I don't know.
But, you know, here's another thing. As I look at this further, as we go to break, the disciples of John and the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. Mm-hmm. They were used to doing things a certain way. Mm-hmm. Now, here comes Jesus disrupting what they're used to. Well, no, like, we're serving God in this way. Don't tell me, you Messiah, you crazy person, what I should do. How about that for us? Like, well, I'm used to serving the Lord in this way. I don't want to go do works of service on Dr. Martin Luther King's Day.
They were in their routine.
Maybe I need to be stretched a little
bit.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. We get stuck in a routine, and that's what they were saying. You know, and we just have to do it this way. No, we don't. There are different ways to do it.
And that's one of the beautiful things about our Holy Father, Pope Francis. He is constantly stretching us and saying, oh, you think you're so good? How about this? And we don't like it because we're not used to it.
Amen, brother.
When we come back, Tom Corcoran, we're going to be talking about Rebuild. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 15th. Today we celebrate Saint Paul the Hermit. Perhaps it's appropriate that information about today's saint is limited and uncertain. Surely someone such as Paul, who spent his long life living as a hermit, doesn't crave the spotlight. Paul was reportedly born in Egypt around the year 233 and orphaned by age 15. A well-educated and devout young man, he was forced to go into hiding in 250 during a period of persecution. He found refuge in a cave in the desert. Realizing how much he enjoyed the solitary life, Paul remained in the desert after the persecution ended. Saint Anthony of Egypt, regarded as the founder of monasticism, visited Paul in the desert and reported on his holy life and death. Allegedly, Anthony found Paul near death, but the holy men were able to break bread and pray together. It was said that a raven brought bread to Paul each day for 60 years. Miraculously, on the day that Anthony came to visit his fellow hermit, the raven brought twice as much bread. Paul is thought to have been about 112 when he died. He is known as the first hermit, and his feast is most commonly celebrated in the East. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Tipping our coffee mugs in a salute to a God-centered day. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Old Church Choir by Zach Williams. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are trying to reach Tom Corcoran on the phone, having some technical difficulties. That happens every now and then, Dave.
Yes, Gary.
Can't avoid it sometimes. You know, yeah. It's happened in the past. We are scheduled to talk with
Tom.
Hope
he's all right.
Yeah, we're scheduled to talk with him about Rebuilt, the book that he co-authored with Father Michael White from Ave Maria Press. The book is called Rebuilt, Awakening the Faithful, Reaching the Lost, and Making Church Matter. Dave, I don't know if you know the story about the Church of the Nativity in Timonium, Maryland. That's the church where Father Michael White and Tom Corcoran...
I am familiar with it, because we in St. Francis Cabrini Parish have the book. We read the book. It was distributed a couple years ago. And yes... So I am pretty familiar with it. So go ahead, Gare.
It's a great story. The church was a little dead, if you will, when Father White got there.
And or maybe a lot dead.
Yeah. And he teamed up with Tom. And a really cool thing that they try to do, and from their website, and I invite you to check out, we're still trying to reach Tom, I invite you to check their website out. It's churchnativity.com. Their vision, and this is from their website, well, their mission first. Their mission is love God, love others, make disciples. Mm-hmm. Very simple mission. Mm-hmm. Our strategy, we aim to be a church that people who don't like church like.
Yes.
How's that? Isn't that interesting?
It's beautiful. And they want to be more welcoming.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they discovered. Like, you know, and I guess they compare it to a lot of the Protestant churches and some of the mega churches and not so mega Protestant churches.
Well, exactly. One of the things they did in formulating this this plan to revitalize the church, they went out and they visited Rick Warren's church.
Yes.
They went to Saddleback and they looked at the things, and you know, like a lot of times we put off the I'm switching mics here so I could see Frank and Dave while we're trying to get this set up. Oftentimes we look at the mega churches and we say, oh, they're not real, they don't have the fullness of truth, and they don't. I mean, in the Catholic Church, we have the fullness of truth, but that doesn't mean they're not doing some things right.
We can learn from everything around us, and that includes for the church to learn from other churches and other religions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of value, and there's a lot of good things that are done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If I can jump in, it's just like, because I was a Protestant, and it kind of, I think it kind of goes to, well, the Protestants are more effervescent, they're more alive, they're more, I don't want to say so much, some are evangelical, but it's that spirit that's alive, that that wasn't seen or hasn't been seen in the Catholic Church, because it's more, I guess, staid, quiet. Not to say it's not respectful, but I mean, we need the energy. Where's the energy in the Catholic Church?
Now, and you know, Dave, and this is the thing too, because this is why this is why the formula for this program works so well, because we're trying to include contemporary Christian music, and we've got some great Catholic guests, and we're trying to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want to continue on about looking at the website as we try to reach Tom Corcoran from the Church of the Nativity. So they're trying to reach people who are disconnected. And they say our strategy is to creatively reach out to disconnected Catholics in our North Baltimore community with a fresh and relevant presentation of the life-changing message of the gospel to help them take their next steps on the paths of discipleship and make them fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, Frank, some people have criticized the folks at Nativity saying, you're going Protestant on us. You're abandoning.
You're going against,
right? You're abandoning everything we believe as Catholics, which leads me to what they have under worship on their website. We believe in Orthodox Christianity as taught by the Roman Catholic Church. The Eucharistic celebration is the source and summit of our faith. Doesn't sound like they're abandoning their Catholic roots, does
it? But it makes anything that is maybe different than what we know or what I know could make us feel uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, that's not the way it's done. But it doesn't have to be always done the same exact way. And, you know, it's not saying the way you may have done it is wrong or anything like that. It's just saying, hey, here we're going to take a different approach. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we're going to be different than the magisterium.
Oh, absolutely.
And they make that very clear. They are loyal to the magisterium.
Exactly. So there's ways to do that and then pull people in.
Exactly.
Get people excited about the faith. Okay. Show them the connections between maybe what they already know and the faith. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know. And we've seen it in, we read the book. Monsignor McCormack gave it out at St. Francis Cabrini Parish in the last couple of years and invited everyone to read it. And again, it goes back to that. We're trying, again, as you say, we follow the magisterium. We're the universal church, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. But sometimes people go in, and we talk about this, when they go to Mass, they just go, it's so rote, it's so robotic, but the spirit, we're trying to get the spirit reinfused into the Catholic folk, where they can say, well, yes, I truly have a gift. And we're trying to teach them about the so much deeper faith. But through being alive with the Holy Spirit and welcoming, it changes us, so we can go out and be on fire for other people, with other people.
Exactly. And Dave, to that point, that can be done differently in different parishes. Mm-hmm. And Frank and Dave, there are many parishes who are very traditional. They have the extraordinary form of the Mass. And that's great. It doesn't mean that we have to use contemporary music at all of our churches. But I think what we need to realize is that we have to reach different people in different ways. And there's a variety of ways to do that.
Two things to always think about, which is, one of the things is, you're different than I am, so to reach me is going to be very different.
Right.
So, always remember, everybody is a little bit different. And the next piece to that, and it's really interesting, because I took the girls yesterday to see Les Mis, and one of the overarching themes of Les Mis is, do you see God in everyone?
Wow.
And one of the things I'll say is, we need to see God in everyone and bring that out and highlight that. Now, the ways we go about doing that is going to be different from one person to another. Mm-hmm. So be accepting of that and allow these differences to happen, because they're a beautiful part of our faith. We have a beautiful faith.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Exactly.
And there's a lot of beauty.
Very rich.
And by the way, it varies slightly when you go around the globe and go to different churches or different this. There's different pieces to that make it highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
Love those differences.
Exactly.
Love those aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also differences in parishes and different ways they
there
feel.
Are. You're right. There's a different vibe or a charism for many different parishes.
Yeah, and one of the things I notice is newer parish, I'll say like in Our Lady of Guadalupe is a good example of that. Oftentimes because they built up this parish, there feels like a tighter community aspect in some of those parishes. One of the other things I'll say, though, is we live in a great area for the Catholic faith. There's tons of places. One of the things I like to do is go to different parishes, see what they're like, see the differences of approaches that are often taken, and be able to then take that and bring it into your own parish. Mm-hmm. Grow with it.
One thing that's heartening to me, I hope and pray that with the newer priests, the younger priests and clergy coming up and religious, that they're aware of this now. Through their education, and then once they get out into their, if they're in a pastoral mode, in a church, they're bringing a freshness, that maybe clergy down the road, as it were, in their career, but they're revitalizing. We're always on a growth journey seeking the Lord.
And I think the hardest part is also recognizing the other individuals. Oftentimes I hear, and I've heard it from guests on this show, I've heard it in a lot of things, talking about like the millennials and they're this or they're that, and sometimes a negative perspective. The reality is they may view things differently, so how do you reach them? Can you walk a mile in their shoes? Can you see what they see?
That's
and
right.
If you do that, you can easily start to bring them deeper into the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to start with looking at it from their perspective.
Good point. I was going to say, basically, it's, they're human like we are. Our brothers and sisters,
You very good point. And, it goes back to that.
Was that a touch?
It's kind of amusing to watch this show sometimes.
You're listening to the Dave Parker show here. If I am over here.
Well, you got me on fire, brother.
Look at me every now and then. It's okay.
I was looking at Frank.
the gospel today, the methods of Jesus were a little bit unconventional.
Right.
The Pharisees and the, you know, the scribes, these guys constantly had a problem with Jesus.
Jesus was unconventional.
Yeah, they didn't like his approach. No, this is the way we do things, Jesus. But he's saying, well, no, I'm calling you to something new. And I think it's great for us to be able to play the music that we do on the show and to have this fresh approach, because I know for a fact we are reaching people on Spirit in the Morning who typically don't listen to Catholic radio.
That's right.
And now they're being drawn in and they're saying, well, while I'm listening to this show, let me listen to some of the other programs on Holy Spirit Radio. And I've heard from people saying, hey, I like this. You know, you guys drew me in, and now I'm going to explore what else this station and the network has to offer.
It's a building block.
And I want to link it to Martin Luther King Day. That's how he was.
When we come back, we are going to be joined by Chris Stepien. Hope you can stay tuned.
With a vulgar expression has created some furor. Trump made the remark yesterday during a White House meeting after senators discussed revamping immigration rules. That's according to three people who were briefed on the conversation but who weren't authorized to describe it publicly. The president suggested that instead the U.S. should allow more entrants from countries like Norway. Emergency responders in Southern California are racing against time to search for
from St. Rose Philippine Duchesne. I am where God wills me to be, and so I have found rest and security. His wisdom governs me. His power defends me. His grace sanctifies me. His mercy encompasses me. His joy sustains me, and all will go well with me.
Inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Just about the time that you have the whole world
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's God Loves You by Rachel Lampa. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:33. Isn't that a great message? It's a message that I think we often take for granted. Yeah, God loves me. But that is so crucial for everything that we do. You go through your day, you run into trouble. If you fall back to that message, hey, God loves me. He loves me. Therefore, whatever's happening to me, I might not like it, but somehow my loving Father is allowing this to happen. You know, you start doing that, and all of a sudden, you start to feel peace because you realize that God loves you and He's taking care of you, even though it might involves some difficulty. So keep that in mind today on the program. All right, Chris Stepien is a regular guest on the show. It's always a blessing when Chris joins us. We are going to be talking about a book that he has written for a Dynamic Catholic. The name of the book is 3 Days, The Search for the Boy Messiah. This is a very interesting novel that Chris wrote. I can't wait to talk to him about this. This novel is based on the story of Jesus being lost to his parents, Mary and Joseph. They're looking for him in the temple. We read about this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Chris is going to be talking about that book with us now. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Happy Martin Luther King Day to you as well. What a great man he was, wasn't he, Chris?
Oh, my gosh. I just listened last night, just before going to bed. I listened to the I Have a Dream speech. I actually watched it on YouTube, and
yeah.
I shed several tears.
Wow.
Just listening to the inspiration, and I actually blogged about it last night and raised the question, what if his assassin had missed? What if he had lived longer? How things might be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would the world be different? Yeah.
Wow.
A great follower of Jesus.
Yep. Amen, brother. Okay, Chris, I want to talk about this book, 3 Days, The Search for the Boy Messiah. Now, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 2, we're told about Jesus remaining in the temple. Mary and Joseph don't know where he is. They go home. They go back. They find him. It takes all of 10 verses in the Bible to describe this. You've got a novel that's 292 pages. How did this come about? This is a fascinating book.
Well, thank you so much. 82,000 plus words. Yeah.
Wow.
How do you get that out of those few verses?
Yeah.
Well, it came out of my prayer life, praying the rosary in a creative way, you might say. I combined the rosary with the Ignatian spiritual exercises. And for those who aren't familiar, St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, I like to call him St. Iggy, had a different approach to reading scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, I'm going to give you a Reader's Digest version, he basically asked us to pretend like a child that we're in the gospel story.
Right.
Put ourselves in the role of a character. Maybe you are a shepherd at the scene of the nativity, or you're someone on the street when the apostles come out of hiding on Pentecost Sunday. And so you experience, or maybe you're the guy, one of the guys on the rope lowering the guy through the roof so that Jesus can heal him, your friend.
Yeah.
So it changes the way you experience the story, and all of a sudden you have to think about it from a real world perspective. So actually, I was led to pray differently because I had some challenges in my life, and I decided I got to kind of reach my limit, and, you know, life brought me to my knees, so I reached for my rosary, and I turned to Mary, Mother of God, and I said, okay, Mary, I'm going to make you a deal. It was very arrogant of me. I said, I'm going to pray 1 decade of the rosary a day.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to get me closer to your son.
Hmm.
And less was more, because I focused on just 1 decade. I had the time to really contemplate on the scripture story of each mystery. You know, we're not supposed to just rattle off our Hail Marys, right? We're supposed to be really contemplating that scripture. So
right.
I would take me 20 days to pray 20 the mysteries of the rosary. And every 20 days I'd come around to that, the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after years, it penetrated my heart. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is 12-year-old Jesus missing in Jerusalem, you know, a center of trade, political turmoil, faith, the temple, you know, hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million. It was certainly about 500,000-600,000 people converged on Jerusalem for the Passover. So why did he stay behind? After all, what happened during those 3 days? Who did he meet? Where did he sleep? What did he eat? I love food. So I started thinking about all these things and began to think about him and the Holy Family and his community and everyone there as three-dimensional people. So this is the fruit of the spiritual exercises, St. Iggy's spiritual exercises combined with the rosary.
In the book, Chris, there are numerous details about what's going on at the time of our Lord's, you know, remaining in the temple. Did this involve, in addition to meditation, did it involve research on your part?
Absolutely. Well, what happened is, I after years, I was praying, you know, and I finally got this voice in my heart that said, do something, mm-hmm. do something with this story. I was actually on my knees praying one day in my bedroom, and I looked at the ceiling and yelled up, you know, what am I supposed to do with this?
Right.
You know, I'm a former television producer director, and I thought, okay, maybe I'll write a screenplay, you know. And so I began doing research, all kinds of research, and a priest buddy of mine led me to a book called Jesus and His Times. It was actually an authoritative book by the Reader's Digest Association, published in 1987, vetted by a dozen scholars, including those from the Hebrew University, because, of course, this was about Jesus' Hebrew life.
Right.
And there were lots of things on the web. Jordan Rubin's book, The Maker's Diet, is a book about a biblically-based diet. And I learned a lot about biblical foods. So I reached out to so many Hebrew encyclopedia. I reached out to so many different sources to try to create a realistic scene. In fact, I had to come up with a realistic reason why Jesus would remain behind. He wouldn't have defied his parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the Messiah. So, yeah, I did a lot of research to get to that. But then I got to a point where there was so much information, I said, I can't wrap my arms around this to write a screenplay. Mm-hmm. I will just write a novel. And this was actually the first book I wrote. And I never really intended to publish it. It was a spiritual exercise, and then one thing led to another.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just chock full of information. And I'm someone who always has struggled when I'm praying the rosary and meditating on the various mysteries. My mind struggles to meditate and to really enter into the mysteries. That's something I'm asking the Lord to help me with. I'm working on it. But this book really opens up the whole finding in the temple mystery, the fifth joyful mystery of the rosary, and gives me plenty of food for thought.
Yeah, one tip I might suggest is, besides reading the scripture story before you pray that decade, I would read about the life and the times of Jesus. Because, I mean, imagine reading a life story of a great athlete mm-hmm. without ever watching the sport he or she played, or read about a musician or composer or singer without ever hearing the music, or, you know, study a great Tuscan chef without ever tasting Italian food. You can get the general idea of the experience, but you can't really relate to them or the story. So if we don't know what the times of Jesus were like, we can't understand what he means when he says, or what it means when he says to the woman, for example, the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water will well up in him like a spring of water to everlasting life. We can't understand why she literally comes out of her sandals saying,
right.
Give me this water. Because people had to search for water. Water was a big deal back then. They didn't have vitamin water. They didn't have water on tap. They didn't even have a pump at the well. So if you think that they're living in a desert area, Samaria being more lush, still, you know, having more water, but still you have to schlep water from the well. So he was offering this ever-present water that you would never thirst. So imagine telling a desert dweller, you will never thirst. But if you're not thinking in that mindset, if your feet are not in the sand, in the Holy Land, you can't quite relate to what Jesus is saying. It can't quench our thirst quite as well, because we don't thirst in the same way that someone in that time did. So to put yourself in the gospel story is to be there with Jesus. Jesus is here with us. He's asking us to be there with him, to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how well do you know God? How well do we know this person, where this God, this human, this divine mystery that we're following?
That's a great point, Chris, and I realize that I'm limited sometimes when I meditate on the various mysteries, because I am not as familiar with the life and times of Jesus as I should be. I know it's in the Bible,
but I don't know some of the supplemental information. And I think that's a great point. I actually have that Reader's Digest book that you're referring to. I haven't read it, but I think I am going to now. Could you say the name of that book again, just in case anybody wants to maybe pick up a copy?
Looking right at it on my shelf. Jesus and His Times. Reader's Digest Association, published in 1987. And you can get it, on Amazon easily, a discounted price of, many used copies.
Right.
So it's a wonderful book. And there are many other books, Bible Times. You can find many other sources about Jesus, the Holy Family, the times. Josephus is a famous a historian, a Jewish historian, Jewish Roman historian, actually. He's a good source to read to have an understanding of some of the things that happened during the time of Jesus. So there are many good sources, but get to know, and it has to do with contemplating Jesus in, as a child. What was he like as a child? I mean, think about that. What did he do? He probably went to school. If he had gone to school, he went 6 days a week and studied the Torah strictly. No art, no science. He would have been immersed in, and we know there was a synagogue in his community because the gospel tells us that he read from the Torah at that synagogue, declaring that this scripture that he was reading was fulfilled in this moment. So there's a lot of rich history to get involved with so you can better understand the meanings of his words and what he was saying to people and how they related to it.
That is great advice. That is great advice, Chris. And I recommend that everybody check that out. And really, and I know I'm going to do that too, so that we can enhance our ability to meditate on these various mysteries and really use our imagination, which is says something St. Ignatius, as Chris said, recommended. Again, that book is 3 Days, The Search for the Boy Messiah by Chris Stepien. It's available from Dynamic Catholic. And Chris, again, your website is chrisstepien.com. Is that correct?
Indeed.
All right, brother. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Look forward to our next segment. And again, I invite everybody to visit chrisstepien.com to find out more about our buddy Chris Stepien. Hey, brother, thanks again.
God bless you. Thank you, Gary. Have a great day.
You too, my friend. Well, I've got good news for you. When we come back from the break, we managed to get in touch with Tom Corcoran. We're going to get him on the air, and we hope you'll be able to stick around for that. We'll talk about his book, Rebuilt, Awakening the Faithful, Reaching the Lost, and Making Church Matter. Stay tuned for that. Tom Corcoran from the Church of the Nativity when we come back from break. Stay tuned.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
I can barely stand right now. Everything is crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray. I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's Broken Hallelujah by the Afters. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad that you're able to join us on the show today. I'm also glad that we were able to connect with Tom Corcoran. We had some technical difficulties earlier in the program, but he joins us now to talk about his book, Rebuilt, Awakening the Faithful, Reaching the Lost, and Making Church Matter. This is a book from Ave Maria Press that Tom co-wrote with Father Michael White. He joins us from the Church of the Nativity in Timonium, Maryland. You can find out more about the great work that they are doing by going to churchnativity.com. Tom, good morning. I'm glad you could join us today.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Great to connect now.
Yes, absolutely. Tom, here's the deal. We had you on the program before to talk about some of the great things that you're doing at the Church of the Nativity, as detailed in your book, Rebuilt. And I had a few more questions. I asked you to come back on the show. There are a couple of things that popped into my mind. Okay, so we go to church, we go to Mass every week, and maybe it seems a little dead, maybe it seems like something is wrong there. How do I, average Joe Catholic, know that there is a problem in my parish?
That's a great question. You know, I think our parishes have problems as soon as we're not really welcoming to outsiders. As soon as we become kind of insiderish, and that people can no longer join us. I think that the church is established by Jesus to be a movement that goes out and impacts the community.
Right.
And when churches become too insular, too much about the community themselves, I think that's when we have a problem. And that's far away from finances or how many programs are running or those kind of things. I think when people cannot get into it or feel welcomed into it, that's when the problem begins.
Wow, that is very interesting, because as Catholics, I think we have that natural aversion to the outsiders. Oh, here come the people. They only come once a year. They're taking my seat. I don't like that. You know, I think that's a common problem.
It is, and I think, you know, obviously it varies community by community.
Right.
And, but, yeah, I think it is. I think we have to begin looking at it. That's why one of our number one things we say to churches and trying to help other parishes grow is, first of all, focus on the outsiders, because the natural pull of the church is toward the insiders. I mean, look at just reading through Acts of the Apostles. Acts 15, you know, Paul's out there converting people, bringing people to Christ, and the Pharisees, the Judaizers, saying, well, they have to be circumcised before they can be Christians. They have to follow the whole Jewish law before they can become Christians. So I don't know why that is about the church, but it's just a natural pull, and we have to constantly be on our guard against it.
So just because our masses are well attended, we have plenty of people showing up for activities, that doesn't necessarily mean that all is well in our parishes.
Well, I think we always have to evaluate our parishes by the mission Jesus gave us. And constantly, what did Jesus say to do? And it's so simple, but we often miss it. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go to all the world and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, everyone.
Right.
And he didn't give the apostles a quota. He didn't say, when you've made 100 disciples, you're done, you can stop. No, he said, all nations. So as parishes, we say, we're to make disciples of all the people in our community. And so that means, really, we're, as a church, we're not done until every person in our community and our parish boundaries, so to speak, has become a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
So I think that's what we need to be evaluating ourselves off constantly,
right,
the sense of mission that Jesus gave us, why we exist.
Now, Tom, I'm the average parishioner. I'm the guy in the pew. I'm the DRE. I'm the adult faith formation director. I see that there might be a problem. What do I do, especially if my pastor doesn't necessarily see that there is a problem? Is there anything I can do?
Absolutely. And I will say that's probably the number one question we get.
Really?
We travel around, How, or how do I get my pastor on board?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think, first of all, you always, you know, if you're a DRE or a staff member, you do your job. But that's the first number one thing, that we influence and lead ourselves and then lead the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of my relationship with my pastor came by just doing my job as the youth minister. I started, and I helped get him on board what some of the ideas I had for the church by doing my job well. And then we had parish council meetings, and I would present what I was doing. He would ask me to come in as the youth minister to present the parish council.
Hmm.
And I remember after one parish council meeting, he said, wow, that's really good stuff. You know, he saw there was strategy behind it, what I was doing. So I think it's always leading ourselves and then doing our job are the first two things. And then I always think, how can you serve your pastor? If you want to influence your pastor, you need to be serving in a relationship. So if you see problems and issues. It's just human nature. We get defensive.
Yeah.
If people just come at us right away with those problems. So I think it's always in the context of relationship and serving the parish. But I always think, well, just start by doing what you can do in your sphere of influence.
Boy, that's great advice for Christianity in general, isn't it? Just do what I can do. Because I think so many times we try to do what we can do, and then we try to do things that are completely out of our control, and that's where the anxiety and the frustration sets in.
Right. I mean, it goes back a lot to Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
That right.
Their circle of concern, circle of influence, and that the effective people look at their circle of influence. And then I really do believe as we focus on that, God gives us more influence so that that widens and broadens.
Right. Tom, we only have about 2 minutes left, but I want to make sure I touch on one thing before we go. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've noticed over the years there seems to be a reluctance of Catholics, even people who are very devout Catholics, to talk about Jesus and mention him by name. Have you noticed this to be a problem? And if so, what do we do about this?
Yeah, I think that's a cultural problem,
right?
For sure, and I would agree with you, and I think it's a cultural problem. It's just I don't know, whatever reason, you know, we end prayers at Mass in, you know, through Christ our Lord. That's the way we hear that Mass. So we don't say in Jesus' name, as our Protestant brothers and sisters say.
Yeah.
So I think it's just getting a little more comfortable with saying Jesus and falling in love with Jesus. And I'll admit, I know when we've been influenced largely by many evangelical churches, and when I heard Jesus' name, I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I felt weird. But over time, I've just gotten more used to it. So I think just saying his name and leader saying it and getting more comfortable to have a personal relationship, and then growing our own personal relationship with Jesus. I think that's how we get over that.
That is so true, and that's, as Catholics, I think we need to get better at working on that. And I see progress in that area, but in my own life, that's something that I'm working on. And we need to not be afraid to mention the name of Jesus. Tom, we are just about out of time. I want to invite everybody listening to visit churchnativity.com for more information. You have a conference coming up very soon. Is that correct?
Yep. So April 16th and 17th, the Rebuild Conference. So you get rebuildconference.com for that as well. It's April 16th and 17th in Baltimore, Maryland. So we'd love to see people come. It'll be great. We'll have Jeff Cavins there and myself and Father Michael. So it'll be a great conference.
And that's the website is the best place to go for more information?
Yep, rebuildconference.com.
Oh, rebuildconference.com. Very good. Tom Corcoran, thanks so much for making time for us on Spirit in the Morning today.
Thank you, Gary. It's great to be with you.
All right. God bless you, my friend. All right. We are just about out of time. I want to remind you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Spirit in the Morning. God bless you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating